Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg, play action, rolls near side, looks downfield, delivers downfield. He's got him at the 50, run him into the 40, 35, 30, 20, run him into the 10, to the 5, touchdown Penn State! A 68-yard strike from Christian Hackenberg to Adam Brenneman. Far side Robinson locked up on Hillary near side. Nobody's on Lewis near side. Nobody at all. Nobody. They throw to Lewis, touchdown Penn State. Gary Anderson was trying to call a timeout and could not get it. Penn State scores. Nobody covered Lewis. Hackenberg saw it and delivered it, and the Nittany Lions are a point away from the tie.
From the eye with two tight ends, Robinson near side. Hackenberg play action fake. Sets, waits. In the end zone, looks. He throws.
Caught it.
And that ball is caught. Touchdown, Penn State. Jesse James, what a throw, what a catch, and the Nittany Lions take the lead.
Play action, Stave, blitz coming, hit as he throws, he fumbled the football, and it's picked up by Penn State to the 40. Alani into the 25, Alani into the 20, and he fumbles it out of bounds at the 18-yard line. Alex Butterworth puts it down, kick by Ficken is up, the kick by Sam Ficken is good, and Penn State has a two-score lead. Good snap. Blitz coming. Back he goes. Hit as he throws. Downfield. Far Lewis reaches out. Makes the catch at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions get the three-score lead. Two near side. Aberdare's far side. Back goes Stave. Pressure. Steps up and down he goes. Anthony Zettel started it. Hull cleaned up with Alanian. And the Nittany Lions take over on downs with 9:44 to go. Leading by 17 points. Stave gets the snap. Back to pass, steps up, long and deep, looking for the end zone. They're down there in the end zone, and it's going to be intercepted by Penn State. The Nittany Lions end the game. Intercepted by Ryan Kaiser in the end zone with 1 second to go, and the Nittany Lions have walked into Madison, and they close out the season with a flourish.
You know, we got a pretty good football team, too. You know, I guess Las Vegas doesn't think so, but, you know, we do. You know, we've lost some close games and some games maybe we could have coached a little bit better in, but overall we've accomplished a lot here in 2 years at Penn State, and today was a great win for our program.
No doubt about that. Kevin will have complete analysis in the final half hour.
They're just waiting for that.
We'll bring in Donnie Collins from Scranton first. Hi, Donnie. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Not too bad, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Well, how about that one?
Yeah, didn't see that one coming. I'm going to be honest. I didn't see any scenario where they could win that game, and they dominated it. And, you know, I don't use the word dominate lightly, but you know, they were up 31-14 in the fourth quarter of the game. They were 24-point underdogs. I'll give them a lot of credit.
It was a game where I know we can talk about the seniors, but Senior Day happened a week ago, and the seniors go out winners with this one. But what did it mean for Penn State and for the future of the program that everywhere you looked there was an underclassman or, in some cases, a freshman making plays out there to win that game?
I thought that was the biggest story of the day. I mean, I really, really did. I mean, first of all, Hackenberg plays about as good a game as you could possibly play. And but you kind of expect Hackenberg to go out and, I mean, not play, you know, an A game, but to go out and play pretty well. But, I mean, you know, look at it. Everybody's worried about, you know, what's Allen Robinson going to do, but he threw four touchdown passes, and Allen Robinson didn't catch one of them. And those are all guys, Jesse James and Brenneman and Eugene Lewis are all coming back next year. And then even on defense, I thought Malik Golden played a heck of a game. I mean, and that's a position you're worried about next year because they just don't have any experience coming back at safety, and he did a great job. So, I mean, all around the field, Settle and, you know, C.J. Olanian was unbelievable. Brandon Bell, I thought that was a huge game, not just for Penn State to finish 7-5, because, you know, to me, that's a record that it's good for now, and in a few years you forget that happened, but But I think for fans, this gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Malik Golden, because I know when I was running through some of the younger players earlier, I omitted him, and that's it was a mistake on my part. But the way there's a guy who, you know, switched positions, wide out to secondary, started out okay, fell back a bit, and now really came on in the last month of the season. That's one of those young players. Say, bowl practice would have benefited a kid like that.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, to me, that's an unmentioned thing a lot. You know, with the bowl man, is that you just don't get to work with a kid like that in December, you know, anywhere near as much as you know, on a typical team does. But yeah, he's going to be a good player, I think. I mean, he went in there, and I think he played better than, certainly played better than Willis had in the last couple of weeks. But you know, you look at a guy like that, and people don't realize how tough that transition is from receiver to defensive back. And yeah, he had some ups and downs in the process, but I think he's finally getting to where they really want him to be, and where they like him, and they think they can get something out of him over the next 3 years.
Yeah, and a big plus. Mike Hull, I really felt that for Penn State defensively, linebacking play, when they had injuries, bumped up, and inexperience, that was the tough month of October. Then all of a sudden, Hull got healthy, Bell started playing, linebacker play picked up, defense picked up. Am I right?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Penn State's defense is so, and it hasn't really changed much. I mean, they blitz more now. That's really the big difference over the last couple of years. But it's always going to be about linebacker play. Could they cover the pass? Are they athletic enough to get sideline to sideline? And Penn State's boys have stars at linebacker. And this year, they didn't. And then Hull got healthy. And everybody, you know, the questions are getting asked after games. Well, you know, what was the difference in the defense? You know, what was the big switch? And it's obvious. Hull got out there and started playing like a star. And once he did that, you know, it makes quite, you know, allowed Glenn Carson to do his job. And then it, you know, covered up some inexperience at that other spot where they started four guys. And then once Bell got in there and, you know, made the start this week, but played a lot against Nebraska, you know, hey, they started to look like a pretty good threesome there. And that was a big part of this game this week, because those running backs weren't able to consistently hit the edge, and that's because Bell and Hull could run them down.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about not a good running game for Wisconsin. That is a great running game for Wisconsin, and for the most part, they neutralized it. Penn State did not give up the big play in the running game.
Yes, and that's if you told me before the game, hey, look, Penn State's not going to give up a big, huge, you know, 60-yard gain in the running game to Gordon or to James White. You know, I would have said, oh, you know what, they do have a pretty good chance then, because that's Wisconsin's offense. They don't make a ton of big plays in the passing game. If you can, you know, Aberderis is their passing, really. I mean, Stavi is an okay quarterback, but he's not a guy who's going to carry you on his back, and he didn't in this game. But when Penn State stopped the run, and I say stop because, you know, when you hold those two guys both under 100 yards, that's a really good game against Wisconsin. That's a heck of a defensive effort. And what they did to that running game enabled them to win the game, because Wisconsin didn't know what to do.
No, they did not. And again, there are certain teams, and they do it in different ways, but Baylor, Oregon, Wisconsin. Now, two do it one way, Wisconsin a completely different way, but what do all three have in common? All three are brilliant front-running teams. All three are mediocre come-from-behind teams.
Mm-hmm. Because they run the ball so well. And if you're going to take the ball, if you're going to get up two scores, and I knew they were in trouble when they were down two scores in the third quarter. Once Penn State went up three scores, I knew they had won. Because there's just no way in 7 minutes, with doing what they have to do on offense, that you can come back that way. And that's exactly right. They're just not good, not great in a close game, even Wisconsin, because
right.
You know, they have to, they can't make a mistake on offense. And the other thing that Penn State did really well, you know, with those defensive ends on two pretty good tackles for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Just, they control the game. So when the ends are going to force you to run the ball inside and you really want to run the ball outside, it just didn't. Nothing Wisconsin did was really what Wisconsin does. And that was really the best part of what Penn State did on Saturday.
And Wisconsin took that 14-7 lead. I said on the broadcast that it was imperative that Penn State be the next team to score.
Yes.
Well, Penn State was the next team to score four times in a row, which, I mean, that Wisconsin had also scored on 9 of their 11 opening drives of the second half. And Penn State, when they stopped that and then Penn State scored on its initial drive of the second half, I think that was a tone setter right there that told you a lot about what the outcome of the game was going to be.
Yeah, I thought, just from having watched Wisconsin, I watched 2 Wisconsin games
right
in full the week before coming in, and that was noticeable, and it's been mentioned in the past how good they are coming out of halftime making adjustments. And that bad snap on the second down on that first drive, it's just an eye-opener, because you're sitting there watching it thinking, hey, this is a team getting ready to take off. You know, I'm almost sure they're going to score here on this drive. And then they're facing a 3rd and 13 or 14 because of the bad snap there. And then Penn State stops that, and that's when it starts to occur to you that, you know, and Penn State's just in a game where you didn't think they were going to be the team that had the emotional advantage, because Wisconsin had so much to play for.
Sure.
They're just whipping them in every want-to category that you would see. The effort was just on Penn State's side, and Wisconsin just kind of going through the motions there. And it was that way, you know, throughout the whole game. I'm not saying Wisconsin didn't really try hard. I just think Penn State made them look that way.
No, I think Penn State won the game. That's what happened. Penn State won the football game.
In
Wisconsin, Todd Deanhart.
If Penn State plays Wisconsin 100 times, Wisconsin's going to win 99. It's just not. I think, you know, the better team won the game. I can't say there was no gimmick to it.
No, I mean, that's Penn State won the game because Saturday Penn State was better.
Yeah.
I mean, simple. I mean, you know, we can go through like the Alabama Auburn thing. Gee, if they play 99 times, how many times would Alabama beat Auburn? But gee, not that day. That's not the case with this game. The better team won the game, and I know it took a 61-yard run to do it. But Zwinak became the first running back to gain 100 against them this year. There are only 4 teams in the country that have been in that category, and Wisconsin was the last one of that group to fall. And that took that big run at the end to do it. Because you could see most of the day, that's a heck of a run defense they have in that 3-4.
Yeah, that front line is that Bo Allen and Muldoon, and those guys are, that's a good Penn State offensive line. They played great the last month of the season. I mean, just great. And I think they played to a stalemate until the Zwinak run. But
right.
If you just look at it, the numbers, it's incredible what Penn State was able to do against, you know, no 100-yard rushers, and Zwinak gets it at the end. But, you know, this is a team that hadn't allowed a 200-yard passer. It wasn't allowing 200-yard yards passing per game on average, and Hackenberg throws for 360 or whatever he did. It was just an incredible all-around effort by the offense, and that's, you know, it just goes to show you what they do what they can do when they don't make mistakes. You
right.
know, and not to say they played a mistake-free game. There's way too many penalties pre-snap, and that would have had to change. That would have been a big story this week. But, you know, it's just crazy.
Donnie, when you're +3 giveaway takeaway, and this is something I have talked about all season, it's been a big thing for me all season. When you're +3 giveaway takeaway, guess what? You're in great shape.
Yeah, and Penn State they weren't just a team that turned the ball over in some games this year. They turned it over in awful spots.
Yeah.
The fumble, the one, I mean, it's stuff like that. That's, you know, Belton on the first play of the game, Zwinak on the first play of the second half. You could talk about just when they fumble and when they throw
right.
interceptions was just backbreaking for this team at this season. And they never threw that pick. And they never fumbled that ball in this game. And I think, you could say whatever you want about anything else, but when you're not giving Wisconsin a lot of chances, they beat Wisconsin the way Wisconsin beats everybody else.
Yeah.
They waited for them to make the poor throw, and they picked it off, and then they didn't turn it over themselves. Football is a simple game. If you don't turn the ball over and you run the ball pretty well and you throw the ball pretty well, you're going to win it every time.
You want to listen to what an odd season this was? Penn State won its first two games, then lost, then won, then lost, then won, then lost, then won, then lost, then won, then lost, and won.
Yeah.
They had five. They had 5 1-game losing streaks, followed by 5 1-game winning streaks.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I mean, is that crazy? Okay, future now. More scholarships available. Door might be open to a bowl game next year, but you know, we'll see what the ruling is on that. But we do know the door is open to more scholarships. Based on seeing young players perform the way they did and more scholarships, have we seen potentially the bottoming out?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we as you know, the writers, we go on the road and we hang out a little bit, and we, you know, some of us will talk about, you know, the future. And I know there's some guys who think that next year could be a down year. I don't want to use the word down year. I think it could be a decent year. Surely they have some guys to replace in the offensive line. I mean, Urschel's going to be a tough guy to replace. I thought he played an extremely high level.
Yes.
All season.
So did I. I voted that way.
Yes. That's going to be a hard guy to replace. They had, you know, Robinson, if he chooses to leave, a difficult, obviously, guy to replace. Glenn Carson's going to be an impossible guy.
Very hard, yeah. Carson and Daquan Jones are very hard to replace.
Daquan Jones, yes.
Yeah.
But they can move Hall over, but then they still have that, you know, that question mark on the outside. So,
right.
But that said, you know, they showed, you know, if a guy like Malik Golden can come in and play safety, it, you know, just show some of that speed and you know, give him that dimension at safety. I love the cornerback from this team. I really, really do. Even Trevor Williams, I think he's got some potential there. If you want to move him to safety, I think there's some potential with a lot of these young guys who got some playing time this year and didn't get hurt. I think that, you know, they're going to come back relatively healthy next year. They're going to get Brad Bars back, and I think that's
that does help.
A team that had some special teams issues, and Bars is going to help that.
Yeah, and then Zettel gives them some versatility between end and tackle. So
yes, so it'll be. I think next year could be. I think it could be better than 7-5. I think it should be better than 7-5. I don't want to say they're going to beat Ohio State or anything, but you know,
let me put it this way:
8-4. That'd be a good season.
If they're in the other division, yeah. But the new division they're in, you're talking about Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, all in that same bracket. So, I mean, you will be challenged. You will be challenged.
Yeah, it's a not-yet kind of thing for them, but eventually they're going to be a very, very formidable team in that division.
Donnie, it's always an absolute pleasure. Great respect for your work, as everyone knows. And during the bowl season, can't wait to talk to you, and then we can maybe have some fun, just make predictions on everybody else.
Oh, that'd be great. I love doing that.
Okay, sounds fun, Donnie. Thanks.
All right, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton. Scranton Times. We'll come back, get Kevin's thoughts on where a head coach should be on a kickoff return as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's a big, wide sideline, baby. I mean, you're not supposed to be on the white part, let alone on the field. I mean, that may have been, no offense, the single best defensive play the Steelers made all
night. I don't think there's any really a whole lot to argue with there. You know, there's even discussion that the official may actually be downgraded because he did not avoid that issue and throw a flag as well.
Look, they can't see everything. Jeez.
Well, in the one shot that I looked at, the official was running in the direction where Tomlin was. I'm not saying the official should be reprimanded, but there should have been a flag.
Yeah, guess what? He's supposed to be looking at his feet to see whether he stepped out of bounds or not.
Right.
Right? You're not looking and go, hey, look, there's an extra set of feet there. Okay, it's the last thing they expected, okay?
No question.
You know, I mean, now last night they couldn't even get the down right.
It was not a good weekend for officials.
Well, no, I'm hoping they bring back the replacement guys.
Yeah, I don't think I'm that desperate.
I'm getting there.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how you?
There you go again, auditioning for the SEC. Are you going to do the next Alabama-Auburn game?
He's going to try a 57-yard field goal. Is he out of his mind?
Actually, that sounds more like Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Tennessee Vanderbilt is... I can't believe I'm doing Tennessee Vanderbilt. Yeah, John Ward for years was the Tennessee play-by-play guy for years. Wes Durham at one point did Vanderbilt. In fact, every stop I've made in my career where Wes has been, Wes shows up. Go to Marshall, Wes is there. Go to Vanderbilt, Wes is there. Go to Georgia Tech, Wes is there. We'll get Wes on the show here pretty soon. He left Georgia Tech, you know.
No, I wasn't aware he did that. I missed that one.
Yeah, the Butler basketball guy got the job. What they did was, now get this, under the Freedom of Information Act, a newspaper got a hold of all the names that had sent resumes and CDs to the Georgia Tech athletic director. They got all the names, and they printed all the names, which, of course, then went back to the respective schools that they were attempting to leave.
Right. I'm sure that went over very well.
Yeah. Went over big with all the guys having to go into the respective athletic directors to explain why they were applying for another job. I mean, that is not... You know. That's not good. You should have the freedom if you want to apply for a job on your own while having the world publicize that you're going after the job. I mean, the coaching thing gets a little squirrely, but, like, the announcer thing? Come on. I mean, let's not pretend that that Georgia Tech is the Green Bay Packers. It's Georgia Tech. Okay? Lower echelon ACC football, back to lower echelon ACC basketball. Not exactly the swagger job in America.
But it is a little bit warmer than being in Indianapolis all the time.
Yeah, but he got the job. I'm talking about the guys that applied for it.
Oh, you mean everybody else. I got you.
Everybody else had to go back and explain why they applied for the job and why they should keep their job.
The play-by-play voice of Wisconsin Green Bay says, it was just warmer. Simple as that, man.
But there are other people that applied for this. The rumors got out a few years ago. Greg Sharp had been at Kansas State. And we've had Sharpie on the program, one of the great guys going. And he's now the Nebraska play-by-play guy. Well, I guess Kansas State tried to hire him back and it got out. The Nebraska fans were furious about it. Okay. And Sharpie's a Kansas State grad. So, I guess you got to be careful when you do stuff like this. Yeah.
Steve, if the NFL playoffs started today, the Carolina Panthers would actually be a fifth seed. Isn't that interesting?
They'd be a fifth seed, yeah.
Yeah. At 9-3 in the NFC, they'd be stuck as a fifth seed.
Yeah, but I mean, that's.
But it's,
that means what?
It's not
that
right.
Means what? That means what?
Well, it means you're on the road. It means you're on the road to start in the wild card instead of hosting a game for the wild card. Because the Lions would actually be a 3 seed. The Cowboys would be a 4 seed. So they would host the wild card games. There's something really kind of messed up. I understand I get the idea. Let me put it that way. I get the idea that there should be a reward for winning your division. However, I don't think a team 9-3, if the season were to end today, should you have to go on the road against the 7-5 team just because they won a weaker division? I don't have an answer on how you remedy that, by the way, but I just doesn't seem right.
Well, first of all, the Steelers were what seed when they won Super Bowl? Won the Super Bowl?
They were 5 or 6.
6. Green Bay. Okay. Green Bay. Green Bay was a.
I don't remember.
6.
Were they a 6?
6. Giants. First, when they won Super Bowl 42, were a.
They were a 6.
6.
For one of them, yeah.
6. So, what is the moral to the story, lad?
That it's. I'm looking. All right. For once, I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint of having a home playoff game. Not necessarily from a. It's better to have a home playoff game because you have a better chance of winning. But I think if your team has a better record, they should be the home team. Now, again, I understand that you need to reward teams that win their division somehow. But should two teams with a lower record host the game in the playoffs? Just because they won a weaker division.
Hey, all you got to do is get in. Okay, does it matter at that point?
I suppose not.
Okay, let's review one more time. The Steelers were a.
They were a 6.
Green Bay was a.
6.
Giants were a.
6.
Thank you.
I understand. I do. I do get it. I think sometimes you deserve a home game for the fans if your record is better. I mean,
Green Bay was a. Pittsburgh was a. Oh. And the Giants were a.
All right, okay. Fine.
All you have to do is get in. Okay? All you have to do is get in.
Okay. I've got to find something to look forward to in the NFL. I mean, my team's virtually eliminated. They're still alive, but they need a doctor, nurse, and a whole medical staff to survive.
Survive what? Your team is easily in the playoffs.
What playoffs? What playoff are they easily in? Remember what we said a little over a week ago? The Steelers had to go 2 of 3 in the next week, in the next 3 games. Losing to Baltimore on Thanksgiving did not help the situation. I don't think that Pittsburgh could afford to lose any of those 3 games. Now they still have one to play, but
your team's easily in.
At 5-7?
All I'm doing is baiting you. We both know they're out.
Okay, thank you. I was gonna say I lose all my respect for you. I mean, really.
Oh God.
Here's something I don't understand. How can Houston, at 2-10, still be mathematically alive?
Because the teams in front of them have not separated themselves far enough.
But how? What has to happen? I want to see what has to happen. I mean, obviously, Houston has to win out. But what has to happen to Miami, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, San Diego, the Jets, Oakland, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Jacksonville for Houston to become, and Baltimore, by the way, to become a 6 seed? They have to win out and everybody else has to lose their entire schedule?
Yes.
I saw that today and I thought that is the dumbest thing. I mean, can't you put an asterisk behind it? Still alive, but but not even on life support? I mean, there's just... At 2-10, just eliminate them and be done with it. Still alive. No, they're not.
Technically.
Jacksonville's still alive at 3-9.
They keep winning.
despite what I think they should be doing, but yes, they keep winning. By the way, there's only three teams eliminated. They're all NFC teams: Washington, Atlanta, and Tampa. And you alluded to it earlier. You were talking about last night's Washington game. The officials getting a little bit confused?
Well, first of all, let's go back to your previous comment about Jacksonville as to what they should be doing.
I was joking.
Gee, Kevin, what should they be doing?
I was joking.
Tanking games?
I was joking to get you going because I knew that you had got on my case a little bit about what I said about Jacksonville winning a few weeks ago, hurting their chances at the best overall pick. Right now, Houston's playing for that.
Listen to you. You believe the team should play to lose.
No. I think fans at times go, well, at least if we're losing, at least we're going to get the first overall pick and we can get a quality player out of it. And even that's, as you and I have talked about many times, even that is a roll of the dice, whether you do get a quality player out of the first round pick.
And you don't know. I mean, you don't know.
But let's face it, at 2-10, there's got to be something to get you excited about your football team.
Okay.
And a win isn't really going to do it, I don't think.
Explain the Geno Smith pick.
I didn't say every pick worked out well and every pick worked perfectly.
You want to lose to get the guy. Who is the guy?
Well, I don't know in this year's draft. I really don't know in this year's draft who is the guy.
Who is the guy? Is it Manziel? Is it McCarron? Is it Mariota? Is it... It can't be Winston. He's not eligible. And we don't know what his situation is going to be, but in terms of eligibility, he's not eligible.
No, I do agree with you. This is going to be a very entertaining NFL
so you
draft in the spring.
Want to lose?
No.
To get the first pick?
No, I don't want to lose. I just said if that happens, at least you get the first overall pick.
True.
Like right
now, part's
true. Right now, Jacksonville has the number one pick, followed by Houston. Pittsburgh somehow has the 11th pick.
How can that be? Jacksonville has three wins now.
I know. I don't understand that either, but I'm just looking at the NFL Draft Scout projected order. Now, this might have been before last week's games, or before this last week's game. So that's probably why Jacksonville is number one. So Houston and Jacksonville would have swapped after this week.
Well, they had to swap. Yeah. Jacksonville beat Houston.
I just realized that this is only through week 12. That the projected draft order is only through week
12.
Really? Yeah.
Really?
It's through the 19th.
Got a nice email from Wheels. Don't say all the nice things about you. Just kidding.
Yeah. Now,
I got a nice email from Wheels.
Okay, I believe it. He was up it was the Nebraska game he went up to see, right?
Illinois game. But he was talking about the Wisconsin game. You know? And, it's... I think I'll see if I can sit in the Phillies broadcast booth. He and Tommy Mack. What do you think?
I would do that. I would do that in an instant.
Well, I don't know if you could. You used to be spending so much time at the souvenir stand buying name jerseys.
Unless it's Dollar Dog Night, then it's a whole different scenario.
I can't believe they traded Utley.
Don't be starting rumors.
Oh, I forgot he's your guy.
Don't be starting rumors.
I forgot he's your guy. You're a big Utley guy, right?
Yeah, I have been for a long time.
Yeah. No, he speaks highly of you, too. All right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy. What?
No.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout. Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, only 12,000 miles, $34,999. 2010 Lincoln MKX, just one owner, $24,955. 2012 Kia Optima LX comes with a Carfax buyback guarantee, just $16,399. 2012 Hyundai Sonata, accident-free, fully serviced, just $13,796. And a like-new 2012 Ford Focus SE, lowest price promise, just $16,961. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Fabulous. Is that like a home recorded or?
I'm going to throw in a couple of festive bumps over the next couple of weeks.
I want to hear festive. How about you ever hear a Mannheim Steamroller?
I'm familiar with them.
Come on. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, something. Come on. Like, it's the holiday season. We've turned into December. Yeah. In fact, we're already near the end of Hanukkah here. Okay, we're almost to the end of Hanukkah. It's forever since Hanukkah and Thanksgiving lined up at the same time, but Hanukkah ends this week, and then we head into the Christmas season. And by the way, if you can make a contribution to help out people in our area, the Needy Family Fund, ooh, very important.
Find out more online at WKOK.com or stop by Susquehanna Bank.
I mean, whatever you can do to help. Really. But I look at it's the holiday season. Jump in. Have some fun with it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for a guy to have fun at roots for his team to lose because he thinks the first pick is better than winning. But still.
Are you happy now?
Yes, I'm getting happier. Dun, 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 dun. That's Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It bothers you, I know that. You shake your head, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. Complaining about the bump music.
I'm saying it's December. It's December. It's December. Everything with Sarah went great last week. It's December.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's time to get festive. Right. I mean, I could transition from Mannheim Steamroller and Trans-Siberian Orchestra to basketball to No One's on Lewis.
That was the best ever.
No one. I was thinking to myself, snap it! Snap it now!
No one!
Well, that's why you set the formation.
Nobody's on Lewis near side. Nobody at all. Nobody.
I'm sorry. Nobody. I'm sorry. I love the at all part, though. That's the best part. Nobody at all.
Zero. Zip. Then they ran one. Then they had one defense. They had one time they were caught with 12 in the field defensively. Another time they played with 9. I'm sorry. There are moments in life where you can outthink yourself. Wisconsin was outthinking itself all day.
Well, isn't there a coach that is actually there to do just that?
Yes, he's called the defensive coordinator.
You know, isn't he supposed to count up guys when they're sending guys in? Like three in, three out.
But then you know ahead of time what the package is. Okay? They know. Everybody knows right away the package. It's designated you come out. And everyone knows what it happens to be. For Penn State, for example, okay, you take out Bell and Carson, or Wortman and Carson. They exit. They bring in Ajapong and Trevor Williams. And they take Lucas and flip him into the nickel spot. Okay? So if Johnny yells nickel or dime or whatever he wants to call it that particular week, boom. They know, I'm out, you're in. They were confused.
By the way, the best line of the game, though, was not nobody. It was this.
You know, we got a pretty good football team, too. You know, I guess Las Vegas doesn't think so, but, you know, we...
That was the best line of the game.
Yes, it was. Believe me, he was very well aware he was a 24-point underdog coming in.
Las Vegas doesn't think so.
Las Vegas missed by 31 points. This is football. That's a huge number to miss by. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Find out why they have long-term and repeat customers. An organization run with absolute complete class. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Tomorrow we do the show from Pittsburgh. Penn State and Pitt in basketball from the Pete. Pitt's a measly 105-3 in non-conference games there.